Inside Stories from Washington.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the August 15th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Spain defeated Sweden Tuesday 2-1 in Auckland, New Zealand, to reach its first FIFA Women's World Cup football final. Spain's 23-year-old defender, Olga Carmona, wearing the captain's armband, scored the winning goal in the 89th minute after a thrilling conclusion to the match at Eden Park in Auckland. Another young Spanish player, 19-year-old Sama Perajelo, put Spain in front 1-0 with a goal in the 81st minute. Swedish substitute Rebecca Blomqvist equalized in the 87th minute. Final score from Auckland, Spain 2, Sweden 1. The Spanish ladies will now play either Australia or England in the Women's World Cup final on Sunday, August 20th. Australia will host England Wednesday in the second semifinal. Another sellout crowd of about 75,000 is expected at Stadium Australia in Sydney, and most of the fans will be cheering for the Matildas of Australia. The Swedish head coach of the Matildas, Tony Gustafsson, says he's banking on the fan support to help lift his team to an upset victory.
Obviously, they are a massive favorite going into this game, but if you then add the belief we have, but the one thing that we have that they don't have is the support and the belief from the fans. And that itself is going to be massive tomorrow.
Argentine football superstar Lionel Messi has received massive support here in the USA since joining Inter Miami of Major League Soccer. Messi's arrival has generated a lot of buzz, infusing new life and fan enthusiasm into MLS. Jacopo Luzzi reports on Messi's cultural and financial impact on the sport in the U.S.
Leo Messi's arrival to the United States Soccer League has generated all kinds of buzz from adoring fans, thrilled at the chance to see him in action live on the field.
Incredible experience.
Awesome.
Incredible game. Everything, the atmosphere, everyone.
In his July debut as team captain of Inter Miami, he scored a last-minute goal leading the team to victory against Mexico's Cruz Azul. MLS Commissioner Don Garber sees Messi's U.S. arrival as a turning point for the league.
This is a transformational moment for Major League Soccer. To have arguably the best player that's ever played the game to make Major League Soccer his league of choice.
DC United coach Wayne Rooney hopes Messi joining the MLS could attract other high-profile international players. Shortly after announcing Messi's arrival to the team, Inter Miami also signed his former Barcelona teammates Sergio Busquets and Jordi Alba.
See, I think it was important for the league to get Messi in, to show that he can compete as well against, you know, a country and a environment which is putting a lot of money out there.
British football commentator Callum Williams says the U.S. soccer is now more mature and adds he has seen steady growth in the sport's popularity in the U.S.
Because of where Messi is from and because of the relationship in football that is now being nurtured between North and South America and the Latin community in North America, I think he's the perfect player at the perfect time.
Some experts see Messi's arrival as part of a growing trend of international players choosing to play in the U.S. Fernando Fiore, a longtime World Cup and MLS commentator, says he has seen how the league's popularity has been boosted by incoming international players.
Ibra, que hizo tremenda producción acá. Gareth Bale.
Ibra, who made a tremendous contribution, Gareth Bale, who did a short stint but helped win a championship, and now more are coming.
Securing Messi didn't come cheap, with his contract costing between $50 million and $60 million annually. But it will likely be worth it. Over 12 million viewers tune in from 171 countries to watch his debut, making it the most watched soccer game in U.S. television history. Kellen Williams says soccer could finally be ready to hit the big time in the U.S.
People who aren't even football fans have said that it is the sport of the future in this country, but it does feel as though that future is now.
It is expected soccer's popularity will continue to grow, with the U.S. set to host the Copa America tournament next summer and the World Cup in 2026, positioning the country and the sport at the center of the international soccer map. Jacopo Luzzi for VOA News, Washington.
Uganda, where a rugby coach is helping develop young talent in the sport. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports feature presentation, Magume Davis Rakawinj tells us more from Kampala. Sporty Tuesday greetings, Magume!
Sporty Tuesday greetings to Sunny and our listeners.
None of you is communicating whole phrase, and because you're not communicating phrase, it means that you're disjointed. Hunter, it's your role to make sure this team is all shouting and yelling. Ojara, do me a favor. Get everyone here to be yelling hold, hold, hold until the ball is lifted up and you call press. I don't want you to be quiet. That call is the most important in this team defense. That call at the ruck is the most important. Forget about tackling because you're going sixes and sevens. Do you understand? Guys, we need to be moving as a blanket. We press together as a blanket.
In a dim light evening, sitting at the primary school of Kamocha, a Kampala suburb, rugby coach Edmund Tumusime shouts instructions at his players as they engage in the final session ahead of the second division game the following day. He tells them communication is one aspect they must master if they are to succeed in their rugby careers. Not even the low light and the coldness of the evening demoralizes the budding rugby players from competing for a chance to be selected ahead of the game. One of the players here is 16 years old, Maclem Sewanyana, a scrum half.
So me to hear, always come early, work on night passing, work on the Broncos, 20, 50 meter runs, 20, 40, 60 meter runs. Yeah, try to gain that pace.
Sewanyana started playing rugby some 4 years ago, but is now an integral member of the second division side, Eagles Rugby Club, that was mainly formed to accommodate emerging talented players like him. Sewanyana says he has learned a lot from his coach Tumusime and wants to emulate him, play for the national team, the Rugby Cranes, and earn a professional contract abroad.
Like, I've learned defense. If you can't defend, you can't put on that team. So I also put in my mind that I have to defend to be on the team. So I kept on working on my tackles, on my speed, so that I could be everywhere the defender is, so that I could tackle them, get that ball back. Obviously, we can get the ball back.
Another player here is 17 years old, Keith Mugisha, a play half. He says he learned that discipline and hard work pays.
First of all, I've learned timekeeping. Timekeeping is a problem, was a problem. But you get here for late, you get here for training late, you get punished for it. So you make sure the next time you're coming, you come early. Then we've also learned how to put in a shift for what we want, because winning is not easy. You have to put in the work to get the medal, to get the trophy. So we've learned to put in that extra shift, because we train Tuesday, Thursday, but you'll find that on Monday, someone is on pitch because they want You know, they know what they want. You'll find on Wednesday, there is someone on pitch. You'll find on Saturday, we have no training, but there is someone on pitch. So we've learned that self-drive from the coaches, especially. We've learned that the want, like how to want something and actually work for it. Mm. Yeah.
So when you know hopes, they're now friends. And rugby brothers will make a dream rugby friends.
We want ourselves to be seen on those international television that Uganda is really on the World Cup, because it's been long since Uganda had been in the World Cup. I just want to be like that, be like the captain, be a man of the match every game, and the help of the team. I think every young player out there really wants to push Uganda rugby to the sky limit.
But some of the budding players here have difficult backgrounds. 23-year-old Araptai Wile Ateng says he used to associate with bad groups where he learned antisocial behaviors. He says he's glad the game of rugby has turned him into a better person.
Actually, they used to make me aggressive. Actually, there are times when you take those bags. They make you aggressive.
But now
actually,
you're a changed man.
Yeah, I'm a changed man. We have 100% by now. So I can use my mental head to play the game.
The passer winger also has dreams of becoming a legend, just like his coach.
I want to join the national team. I want to be among those top players in the, not actually the national, worldwide. Because I see I can make it through all the life experience I've passed through since childhood up to now where I'm here. I can see sure I can make it. Because life changes step by step. See, once you want change in your life, change changes you.
Having retired at an early age, meaning to concentrate on his ICT engineering career, Edmond Tumusime, known as Edu in rugby circles, is arguably the best fly half to don the rugby crane's jersey. Yet, despite the praise, Edu remained humble and says he believes he wasn't exceptionally talented, but rather hardworking. He's glad he's impacting the game of rugby by training the young ones. At least twice a week, Coach Edu must spare some time and volunteer, share his skills and experiences with the players here.
We've created a philosophy with the club. We saw the philosophy of the players. They're bought into it, and they're ready to fight for each other. When they are playing, you can see they're brothers, and they're willing to do anything to get victory for the family. And that's how we were able to win the championship in the central region, and subsequently qualifying for the playoffs to see who qualifies for the top national premiership level.
Will he consider coming back into active rugby and play for the national team? Edu answers, it won't matter as long as his impact is still felt on the pitch, at least indirectly.
I'm trying to transform and equip the young generation to take over. In fact, I keep telling them every day, and I think it's some motivation for them, some big motivation for them. I want them to actually make careers out of this sport. You've seen around some of these kids still come from the ghettos, by the way. Some of the boys playing for us come from ghettos and backgrounds which are very difficult. Some of them are actually the sole breadwinners. So I need their lives to be transformed. It's something from a humanitarian perspective. I have to make sure if we can't give them the money to look after themselves and their families, we can equip them and give them the skills and the facilitation for rugby to transform their lives and their families.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My X, formerly known as Twitter, handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. And check out voaafrica.com for lots of Africa news. For world news, go to voanews.com. In African men's basketball, Nigeria is hosting a FIBA Olympic pre-qualifying tournament in Lagos. In the opening game, Senegal defeated Nigeria, as we hear now from Iron Mike Mbonye in Nigeria's commercial capital.
Senegal defeated Nigeria 93-87 in a Group A game of the FIBA Olympic pre-qualifying tournament played at the Eko Convention Center in Lagos. Senegalese forward Youssou Ndoye scored 15 points, while Ucho Erebu scored 24 points for Nigeria. Head coach of Nigeria's national men's basketball team, Ogo Daudu, commended his team despite losing the game.
Just like I said, that is basketball. It can go either way. I do not believe that the point guard deliberately went to throw away any ball. It does not happen that way. You could see from the way they played today, from the looks on their faces, that they wanted to win. You could see the amount of energy that they put in. So mistakes happen. Maybe it was a mistake, it wasn't intentional, but mistakes happen in basketball. It cannot be too perfect. I give kudos to my team. They did great. They played very well. We saw the fighting spirit. Going, like I said, we have to go back to the drawing board to correct the errors, see how we can improve on it in our next game.
Chimezie Metu, captain of the Nigerian team, says they lost to a good team.
Obviously, it doesn't make me feel good, but my coach has been saying we just need to come back tomorrow, and we have to win that game. So, obviously, that's a good team that we lost to, because, you know, they've been preparing for weeks now. They played a lot of games, friendly games leading up to this, and, you know, for us, we just got together a week ago, so I think we played well, but we just need to come back tomorrow and just be better.
Mamadou Gueye, head coach of the Senegalese national men's basketball team, who spoke through an interpreter, says the win will motivate his team for the rest of the tournament.
This win is going to give us strength. It's a good thing to win against Nigeria in their country. So this is going to be a kind of motivation for us for the rest of the competition. The keys was to be mentally ready and physically as well, and try to stop the shooters as maximum as we can, because Nigerian team have a great shooters as well.
Uganda and Congo Democratic Republic, two countries that are supposed to play in Lagos, withdrew from the tournament. World Governing Body of Basketball, FIBA, says it will investigate and assess the matter to determine any potential disciplinary measures. Other countries taking part in the tournament are Cameroon, Mali, Guinea, and Tunisia. It will end on August 20th. The winning team will qualify for the 2024 FIBA Men's Olympic Qualifying Tournament to be played next year. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria.
Thanks, Iron Mike.
This is Colonel Sam Amedu, retired President FIBA Africa Zone 3. You are once more listening to Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Thank you very much and have a good day.
let's give a Sunnyside Sports birthday salute to Angolan big man Bruno Fernando, who is celebrating his 25th birthday on this Tuesday. Bruno plays for the Atlanta Hawks in the National Basketball Association, and he visited our VOA studios here in Washington earlier this year. It was great to chat with Bruno, who did interviews in both English and Portuguese. Happy 25th birthday, Angolan big man Bruno Fernando.
I'm Lightning Bolt. I'm not flash guarding anybody. My name is Lightning Bolt.
The Lightning Bolt. Usain Bolt recently celebrated the 15th anniversary of his first world record in the 100 meters. Now, 6 years after his retirement from track and field, the Lightning Bolt says he's desperate to play a role in reviving the sport that made him a global superstar. VOA's Gwen Uten has details. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Legendary Jamaican sprinter Usain Bolt was a dominant force in track and field during his illustrious near-decade-long career. Famously known for his lightning bolt pose, the sprint star still holds the world record in both the 100 and 200 meters. He's an 8-time Olympic gold medalist and the most decorated male athlete of all time at the World Championships. Bolt left the sport in 2017, and since his retirement, he says he's found plenty to do to keep himself busy. But now he wants to find a pathway back into the sport. During an interview this week in Mexico City, Bolt told Reuters News he's reached out to World Athletics with the hope of reviving track and field that he says is on the decline.
Living up to mainly family, spending family time. When it comes to track and field, not as much as I would want to. I still try to stay in touch with watching what's going on, but I'm still waiting on a position from the IAAF. I've put out to them and let them know that I would love to make a bigger impact in sports as long as they want me to. So we've been in talks, but I have to wait and see what comes around.
In his era, Bolt transformed the sport with his lightning speed and charismatic personality. He acknowledges that his star power made a huge impact on the sport and sees signs that the charisma gap will soon be filled in the next generation of athletes.
After me, it kind of went down because of how I was as a person and my personality. And how big my personality was. But I think over time it will get better. I think younger athletes are coming up. I've seen a few personalities. Now Eliza is a personality that really is needed in the sport. So hopefully in the upcoming years it will change.
One athlete who has recently drawn a comparison to Usain Bolt is American sprinter Noah Lyles, another natural showman who hopes his personality and speed will give track and field a boost in popularity. He's only the second man after Usain Bolt to win 3 200-meter world titles. Last month in London, Lyles clocked a time of 19.47 seconds in the 200 meters. That's the fastest time this year. And now the 26-year-old has the potential to break Usain Bolt's long-standing record of 19.19 seconds in that event, quite possibly in a matter of days at the World Athletics Championships. And while all eyes will be on the American sprinter in Budapest, Usain Bolt says he's keeping his eye on two more athletes who are closer to home, Jamaican sprinters Ablique Seville and Akeem Blake.
I think we have a few prospects that will come out. I think last year at the championship, Seville came fourth, so I was very impressed. And then there's a young kid right now called also Blake, which is also stepping up. So I think that's a good start, you know what I mean? And hopefully these two will motivate other
youngsters to want to step up and want to train harder and want to dedicate themselves to really the sports and doing better.
Bolt is banking on the success of Seville and Blake at the upcoming World Athletics Championships, where the men of Jamaica have failed to win a single track gold medal in the last two competitions, and the women of Jamaica have dominated the track. Most notably, 36-year-old front runner Shelly Ann Fraser-Pryce, two-time Olympic gold medalist, five-time world champion, and the most decorated 100-meter sprinter in history. Fraser-Pryce is now set to defend her title, and Usain Bolt says he'll be cheering her on.
For me, it's always the ladies, you know what I mean? I follow Shelly a lot because we came through the same era, so to see her continue sprinting and coming back from having a child, for me, that's impressive. So I tried to follow her career, so I'm really excited to see how this season will go and if she's going to continue until next season.
One notable absence at this year's World Championships, American Sydney McLaughlin-Leveroni, the world record-holding reigning Olympic and world champion in the women's 400-meter hurdles. In her announcement, McLaughlin-Leveroni said she has withdrawn from the championships to take care of a minor knee issue so that she'll be fully healed for next year's Olympic Games in Paris. However, Shelly Ann Fraser-Pryce, Noah Lyles, and other stars and champions of track and field are set to compete at the World Athletics Championships beginning on August 19th in Budapest. The week-long event concludes on August 27th. And that is all for me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Speaking in the run-up to Budapest 2023, World Athletics President Sebastian Coe says he envisions a world championships for the ages. Coe is very excited about the stadium in Budapest. He says, and I quote, "The quality of the venue that's available to you, the capacity of that venue, and the way it's designed. How fast is the track?" Sebastian Coe is also confident that athletics is going to be as memorable as any other in history. He says again, and I quote, "I've never been more optimistic about the quality of our sport. I want the best of the best to shine. I want big, indelible moments that people can take away. That's why we are excited about Budapest." Meanwhile, the World Athletics Council has confirmed the host cities for three future World Athletics Series events at its meeting in Budapest. The World Athletics Road Running Championships has been awarded to San Diego in Southern California for 2025 and to Copenhagen, Denmark for 2026. The 2026 World Athletics Under 20 Championships will be held in the Northwest U.S. city of Eugene, Oregon. Eugene also hosted the Senior World Athletics Championships last year. The council has also reinstated Lima, Peru, as the host of the World Under 20 Championship in 2024. And that wraps up the August 15th edition of the show.
I get it.
Thank you for tuning in. VOA's Sonny Young in Washington.
that's the sunny side of sports.